what an honor it is this morning. You can go ahead and be seated. And man, I'm excited for our time together today, whether you're joining online or maybe you're in the metaverse or maybe you're tuning in on our television broadcast. Man, I'm excited about the word that I just really feels on my heart. And I think one of the biggest things we all go through is unforgiveness. And I was just praying like, Lord, okay, what would you have me share? I just thought of the thought, pretty easy, Scott. Why forgive? Look at your neighbor and say, why forgive? Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, why forgive? Come on, Weldon Ferguson, like, why should we forgive? Well, you know, the other day I was leaving church and I went to go get in my car. And my car is one of those cars that you have to have a key. You don't turn it over, but you have to have the key. I get in the car and for some reason I can't figure out, like, why is the car starting? You know, like the car's perfectly fine. There's no issues. Last time I got out of it, like it started when I got in, it started when I got out. Like, why is it not working? You know, I'm thinking I just filled up with gas. I mean, I don't think my wife just drove my car. No, I'm just kidding. Ooh. But I look at my dash and it says, key not found. And as I was thinking about it, is that the key was the key to why the car wouldn't move. And I think for some of us, that's what's happening in our lives right now. Let me ask you this question. Does anybody have faith for healing, a relationship, a blessing, believing God for something? And okay, great. But can I tell you, forgiveness can be the vehicle of change in our lives, but the key can be missing. And we can have unforgiveness. We can get in a perfectly good car. It's got everything we need to go from here to there. It's got everything we need to see the blessing God has. But you and I hold the ability to either have the key or not. And I want to break that down. We find in scripture, it says that faith cannot work in an unforgiving heart. So Mark 11, 22 through 24, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you that whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, let me tell this to you, you need to be praying. What are we asking God for? What are we praying for? But that you believe you receive it and you will have them. See, we find in verse 22, Jesus is talking about faith. Verse 23, he's talking about how to release our faith in our saying, in our talking. And in verse 24, he's talking about how to release our faith in our prayers. But as we go to the following two verses, maybe you've heard those verses before, but if you've never circled them before, I want you to pull out your Bible. I want you to get your notes ready. But the next two verses are the thing that really unlocks the last four. And it's verse 25 and 26, and we find it in Mark 11, 25 and 26. It says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have aught against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not, watch this, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. That can be heavy. But notice Jesus said, if you have aught against any, aught is just basically holding a grudge and saying, okay, do I have bitterness in my heart? Do I have something in me against someone else that is causing me to not have the key to start this vehicle to take me to the place that I know God has for my life? Come on, is anybody thankful that God can still work even if we have an unforgiving heart, that if we would just believe, we can receive all that he has, and here's why. Forgiveness is not about keeping score. It's about losing count. Well, then see, it's not, you go to sporting events, all throughout life, you got a scoreboard. What's the score? So many of us, you know, we got that notebook, somebody hurts us, Tim, and we just start, yep, hurt me. Some of y'all went next level, and you got an Excel sheet, okay? Like, you're like, 1972. Boom, column. And it's been, you're keeping track of hurt instead of covering in love. And here's what we find in Matthew 18, 21. Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? You know, Peter, if you study out the Bible, he's a character. And what I love is I'm thinking, you know, like Peter is like, yo, I've forgiven this person six times. Seven, Lord. I mean, that's generous. When I look at it, I'm like, yo, I'm just having a trouble over here forgiving twice. Anybody with me at our locations? Like, seven times seems generous, but then the Lord says, no. I don't say to you up to seven times. Come on, Weldon. 70 times seven. And what he's saying is you can do the math. Oh, that's 490 times. He's not really saying forgive 490 times. What he's saying is lose track of keeping count. Don't keep a score, instead cover it. And if many actually theologians believe that what in you study it down, he's not even saying over your lifetime, forgive them of that thing 490 times. He's saying forgive them of that one thing that day 490 times. That means tomorrow, Sherry, I gotta forgive them for the same thing the same amount of times. And when we do that though, it unlocks forgiveness in our heart. And however, he points out, as if we do not deal with the unforgiveness, none of our prayers or faith will work in action. Because again, forgiveness can be the vehicle of change, but love is the key. Look at your neighbor and say, love. We find here in Galatians 5:6, and they'll put it on the screen, but it is a short piece and it simply says, faith which worketh by love. It doesn't say our faith works by unforgiveness. It says that it works by love. So our faith won't work properly if we're not walking and covering in love. But see, here's the thing, is we have to embrace where we are so that we can change where we're headed. You may have walked in one way at any of our locations, or you may have joined our television broadcast and you're like, man, this is not what I wanted to hear today. But can I tell you, some things and sometimes the things I don't want to hear are the things I need to hear that lead to the most growth in my life, the most healing in my life, that if we would lean into it today, and I know you are, that God is about to bring blessing on blessing because it's not hindering our faith any longer. So my question is, who are we holding unforgiveness against? Who are we allowing to reside and have rent space in our heart that is not even paying for it? And when I say paying for it, I'm talking, do they love you? Are they investing in you? Do they bring you joy? If they bring you pain, hurt, and offense, get them out, kick them out. Say, you can't stay in this heart anymore. But have you ever thought, like, you go into a day and you feel good, but then somebody comes up to you and they go, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Like, I had one of these days the other day, I walked in the office and somebody came up, they're like, hey, how you doing? You want some coffee? I'm like, I'm good. They're like, are you sure? You're good? It's like, I'm fine. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm not fine. Because how we say it normally determines how we really feel. If someone comes up to you, by the way, it's not just on the, I'm fine. Like, saying I'm fine and not really meaning I'm fine means you're not fine. But can I flip the script for a second and say, when someone comes up and you're preparing to say, I'm sorry, which pause in the message for a second, I'm sorry can be the key that we hold in our hands to someone else's unforgiveness against us. So as much as we sit here today or watching online or joining online, we could be the person today that actually hands the keys back to somebody to activate faith in their heart today. And so I want to encourage you, an I'm sorry can unlock so much. But the approach creates the reception. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and be like, I'm sorry? Sure you are. I want us to practice today, Weldon, Ferguson, Florida, all of our locations, Sunset Hills, if you do this with me, say, I'm sorry. Y'all are pretty good at this. I think just for the benefit of the doubt, let's do it one more time. You ready? Now practice it, but like smile with your eyes. All right, you ready? One, two, three. Wow, I forgive you. No, I'm just kidding. But how we say it is just as important as what we say. So where does this come from? Like unforgiveness, okay, where did it start? I think it starts with an offense, and I wanna break this down. They're gonna put it on the screens. First point is this, if you're taking notes, offense will never let us go, we have to let it go. Ephesians 4:26, it says, you shouldn't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, what does that mean? Another translation says, don't let the sun find you nursing a grudge or holding bitterness in your heart. See, that is where the enemy has the greatest opportunity in you and I's life to hinder our faith. We can't allow him to take the keys to the car that's leading us to the destination and the purpose and fulfilling of what God has on our lives just because of some unforgiveness. Now, unforgiveness doesn't always have to be a big thing. Sometimes it starts as small things. And over time, the Bible says that a man or woman thinketh, so are they. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for that's where the springs of life flow through, Nicole. Like, it's crazy. If we don't forgive, we won't see the fullness of what God has. But you don't know what they did. Oh, hold on. Offense will never let us go. We have to let it go. See, to forgive is not to excuse what the other person did. It's to prevent their behavior from destroying our hearts. If life flows from the heart, if out of the abundance of the heart we speak, it starts in here, it goes to here, and it comes out here. And then if you really dig into the word, and that this has nothing to do with this exact talk, but our words build our preferred future. As we speak it, the Bible says there's power of death and life in the power of our tongue, but it starts here in the root of our heart, it comes to our mind, and then it comes out our mouth. I wanna encourage you, if you're speaking ill over someone, maybe we start with forgiving. Because it didn't start here, it started here. The second point is this: our value is not determined by how someone else has treated us. Ephesians 4:31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. But I love this. Jesus is on the cross and he looks at his father and Luke, and he speaks to his father and Luke, and he says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Can I encourage somebody today that people don't know they hurt you sometimes? I actually was talking to a guy today, and as I walked in, he said, hey, you know, your message last night was great. I wanted to tell you, though, it made me think of a story where I held unforgiveness against this guy for so long. I was driving past his business, and one day, my boss actually said, hey, I want you to go in there, because you drive by there anyway, and close the deal. He said, and I just kept driving by. I didn't know, like, I knew there was maybe some hurt. But I walk in and the guy literally said, I saw him, he saw me, we came up, he hugged me, and he said, can we let bygones be bygones? And he said, actually, that would be amazing. And right there, there was forgiveness that happened. And he said, when I walked away, I didn't even know that I needed it. And sometimes we allow people to reside in our hearts, and we determine our value based off of how they have treated us. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, that forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. So many of us, we spend time like trying to lead and walk through life looking backwards. Like, oh, that's not. Like, if you try to do that, you know, like, just making sure I don't fall. That would now be good. It's not good. You're going to run into something. There will be hurt based on our perspective. But no one else can change our perspective, catch this, but us. Are we looking forward? Are we looking behind based off what someone has done? We can't change the past, but we can enlarge the future. The third point is this: offense can isolate us and limit our influence. Hebrews 12:15, it says, be careful that none of you fails to respond to grace which God gives. And in Luke 6:27 through 28, it says, but to you who are listening, that's all of our locations today, Weldon, Ferguson, Earth City, Sunset, Royal Palm, West Palm, Metaverse, online, there's so many different locations, or you're on YouTube, rebroadcast, television broadcast, wherever you at, this is for you. If you miss anything, I want you to listen to this scripture. It says this, it says, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. That can be tough, but it can be so rewarding. Because to forgive is to set a prisoner free. Catch this. To all along find out that the prisoner was you and I. That's right. That's good. We hold the key to the prison cell we put ourselves in, that when we wake up with hurt in our hearts, that if faith can't work in an unforgiving heart, today's the day we just need to forgive so that God can start working on the inside of us, but not only on the inside of us, that he can start working through us. Because the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So no wonder, I'm gonna come over here for a second. I'm gonna get in the preach camp for a second. I don't even know why I call it the preach camp, but I do. Can you see me? There you are. I'm gonna get up in your grill for a second. Don't allow or quit allowing the enemy to steal what God has for you. I'm gonna say it again. Quit allowing the enemy to steal what God has for you. If he can get unforgiveness in your heart, he can stymie your faith. If he can pause your faith and paralyze your faith that's happening in you, it'll pause us from getting to everywhere and everything that God has called us to be, everything God has called us to do. And today, we actually hold the key to unlock the faith, to unlock the blessing. Yeah. But will we unlock it? Yeah. It's up to us. To forgive is to set the prisoner free, to find out all along it was you and I. I want to read a story. I read this the other day. Somebody sent it to me, or to me, and it's of Corrie Ten Boom, if you've ever heard of it. She's the author of The Hiding Place. So I'm going to read this for a moment. I'm not disengaging. I'm going to paraphrase some of it, but I want to read you her powerful words. She says, speaking at a church in Munich, that's when I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat between his hands. People were filing in and out of the basement where I had just spoken. It was 1947, and I'd come to Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. One moment I saw the overcoat, next I saw the brown hat, then it was a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones going back from reality to memory. It came back with a rush, the huge room and the harsh overhead light, the pathetic pile of clothes and shoes in the center of the floor as he made us walk naked past him, as I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, you look so thin. See, Betsy and her sister had been arrested for concealing Jews in their home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp, and now he was in front of her, and this is what she says. He's in front of me, and he comes and says, a fine message. How good it is to know, as you say, all sins are at the bottom of the sea, and you have spoken on forgiveness. She said, I fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. Well, I was one of 1,000 women in that prison. He said, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. Oh, of course he didn't remember me. But since that time, he went on. He said, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips. Will you forgive me? She goes on to say, in that moment, she had just been giving talks to other people on forgiveness, yet she had unforgiveness in her heart herself. And in that moment, I want to speak to somebody today that maybe you feel right now, how could I forgive? There's two parts to the story, that you're never too far gone from God, that if God can forgive him, and he did, that God can forgive you of anything in this room or at any of our locations today. That I love that God says that he covers all. He is a forgiver of all sins, past, present, and future, but we have to give our lives to him. And she says this, she says, Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. She said, and as I lift my hand, I felt a warmth that seemed to flood my body and tears rolled down my eyes. She said, I forgive you, brother. I cry with all my heart. Forgiveness isn't just something we say, it's something we mean. And as she left there, she thought, whew, it's done. If you leave a location today, you might be like, it's done. In months to come, it actually started welling up even more. Why did I forgive him? My sister died there. How could I have done that? Did I taint her memory? She says, a kindly Lutheran pastor went up in the church tower and he said, nodding out the window, right there is a bell. And every time you ring the bell, it creates a sound of ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. He said, but when the sexton lets go of the rope, the bell can keep on swinging, but slower and slower, it finally stops. He said, I believe the same is true for forgiveness. When we forgive someone, we take our hand off the rope. But so many times we take our hand off and we want to grab it again. Let it go. Nah, can't forgive him. I just don't want to sour. I don't know. Well, they hurt me. Well, they looked at me weird at Walmart. They posted that on Facebook. They didn't tag me, but I think it was towards me. And we hold on to the rope. But forgiveness is not about justice. It's about freedom. It's about you and I's freedom of no longer holding on to the hurt. So now that we know we've been grabbing the rope, holding on to the rope, I mean, after a while, it kind of is annoying, you know, like, okay, bro, stop. No, just kidding. We gotta let go of the rope. I want to tell you, as we let go of the rope, here are a few things we have to do. If you're note-taking, I want you to write this down. The first thing is with the rope, it's a choice. We have to choose to forgive. Many times, forgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts the other person. Like, I've never drank poison, but like, I've never seen it hurt someone else. But many times, what we're doing is, it's not hurting them, it's hurting you and I. We're holding this thing that is hurting us daily. Why do I wake up and there's something, maybe that something is unforgiveness, and I wanna encourage it at all of our locations and online and TV. Maybe today's the day we search our heart to make sure there's none of that in there. Maybe today's the day we say, you know what, I've been holding on to the rope, and maybe it's not that you ever let it go. Maybe it's not making any noise, but it's because you're holding on to it so tight because you've identified with it for so long. But if I let go, that's the only memory I have. And then we allow the memory to stifle our growth. And then when it takes our growth, it stifles our faith. And then we don't have faith to believe God. And faith can't work in an unforgiven heart. We got to take the rope and say, you know what? I'm just set this down. There's a lot of noise happening. The bell may still be moving. Tomorrow, like you're going to go like in the car to lunch today. And you're going to be like, ah. That guy in skinny jeans, woo! What in the world? But tomorrow you may wake up and go, okay, like, is there something in there? Do I need to choose to forgive? Luke 6:29, it says this, to who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other. That's not fun, but it can be rewarding. Second thing is this, have you ever heard, forgive and forget? Yo, no time in my life have I ever forgiven and forgot. Like, as hard as I try, I remember. So instead, I crossed that out and I said, forgive while you remember. We have to forgive daily, even when we remember what they've done, because we can remember it, but we can still choose to forgive. We can still choose to leave the rope. I see the rope, it's there. I'm like, yo, I know they hurt me, but I'm gonna leave it there because I've forgiven them. Christ has forgiven me so that I can forgive them. And as we do that, we see that it's a daily decision and the hurts will fade with time. It gets easier with time, but only when we drop the rope. The bells ultimately, you don't hear the bell anymore. Why? Because the rope is dropped. We can keep grabbing it. We can keep bringing up the hurts, but that's not the enemy, that's you and I. We have the choice to drop the rope. Third thing is this. We have to, this is a tough one. We gotta give up our right to get even. That's not fun. Like, you know, I grew up, you hurt me, I hurt you. You know, it's just kind of how we grew up. Maybe that was just me. I grew up in the country, you know? It was like, you hit me, I hit you, eye for an eye kind of thing. We also didn't have like video games. So we also like played in the mud, drank water out of a hose. I don't know, that was a long time ago. But the Bible says, never avenge yourselves, leave that to God. For he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Not you and I, but that he will. And I love when that happens because it's tough not to retaliate. But this quote from Gandhi, it says, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute, Weldon, of the strong. Have you ever thought, like, if I forgive, that it feels weak, like, that's easy, I'm giving it easy to them. No, that's actually an attribute of being strong. You're sitting at Ferguson today, and you're like, man, but it did hurt. I'm not saying it didn't hurt, but we can still choose to forgive even while we remember. The fourth point, last point is this. To be forgiven, as we heard earlier, we must forgive. Matthew 6:14-15, it says this, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your sins, of their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. You know, some of you have heard my mother's story, Pastor Nicole. Abuse, things she went through. I wanna give you a viewpoint. 6 years old. Walking through some trauma with my mom being abused over and over by a man that was supposed to love us. I was told in school that he's supposed to protect us. It wasn't my dad, this is my mom's ex. Having to leave our stuff randomly in the middle of the night to just leave, watching my mom pack a bag in the rain to throw in the car, to not know where we're going, to get to my grandparents, and she's knocking on the door. My grandfather opens the door and says, "What are you guys doing here?" She rushes in, and I'm a kid. I get thrown in the room like, "Hey, just chill out," and I hear them frantic, and I'm like, "What is going on?" 6 years old. Then I would come home and I'd see this guy hit my mom time after time. My mom would come out of the room, holes in the wall, powder all over her. I'm like, "Mom, why are you so clumsy? What's up with all the bruises?" As a six-year-old, I had things being put in my heart that I didn't know were there. I remember one time he came to the door, beating on the door, our big old Rottweiler Miranda scratching. I'm not sure what's going on. It's about 3-4 in the morning. I get up, he's banging on the door, all cracked out. There's 6 cops, throw him down. I'm watching him as a young boy get maced, thrown into the back of a cop car, and I'm holding grudges that I didn't know I was. So let's fast forward to 13. 13, and I'm acting out, doing stupid stuff, fighting. Get into high school, start hanging out with the wrong crowds, but it feels good to fight. I had anger in my heart that I had no idea why it was there, and I'm drinking, partying, girls. Like, I'm like, what is going on? I grew up in church, I know better, but something on the inside of me wasn't healthy. And then finally I had to make the decision. Years later, to say, you know what, I forgive him. I'm not saying it was easy. I'm not saying right there in that moment I didn't remember the next day. Like, I think I dreamed that, you know? Like, I don't know. But I had to forgive him. And every day I have to choose to forgive while I remember. And even while remembering, though, can I tell you, in that moment, I'll never forget, at high school, it was so freeing because I allowed somebody to affect my life, my actions, because of not only what they did, but what I saw. And I want to encourage somebody, no matter how you walked into a location today or on TV, today can be the day you feel and you have that healing. I don't know what they did. I don't know if it was big or small or how long it happened for or what your mom said or if she wasn't around or dad wasn't around, but I can tell you this, you have a heavenly Father that loves you. And in that moment, the love I felt and surrounded, it started the healing process. Let me tell you, healing is a process. Miracles are instant. Healing is a process that it takes to put the rope down every single day, no matter how big or how small. And I want to encourage you today to let the rope go. Drop the rope. Go ahead and stand with me at all of our locations. As I wrap up today, maybe through this whole talk, you're like, "I don't really have someone that really came to my heart," but maybe the person you need to forgive today is you. "Man, I wish I would have handled that different. I wish I would have said that different. They passed away and I never got the chance to say sorry. I never got the chance to really reconcile the relationship." Make it today. Write the note. Forgive yourself. Allow God to work in your heart. Well, how do I forgive myself? 70 times 7 every day. Forgive while you still remember. Every day you got to wake up and say, "You know what? I want my faith to work. And if faith can't work in an unforgiving heart, I have to forgive." Last scripture I want to give you is Matthew 5:44. It says, "But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." Today, let it be the day you drop the rope. Would you close your head and bow, or close your eyes and bow your heads for me? I just got a question before I pray for you. Today you said, "You know what, Pastor? Like, I was thinking about it. Like, I have some forgiveness. I have unforgiveness in my heart. I've been holding that against maybe myself, someone else. I want God to move. I've been believing Him for something, but I there could be something in my heart that I just need to forgive." Well, then, they are saying, "You know what, it's hard, but today can be the day. You're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in the Lord." Would you just raise your hand? Nobody looking around, nobody looking around. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you across every location, God. As almost all the hands went up in the room, Father, the enemy will tell us it's only us, but no, it's all of us. So God, I thank you that the faith is stirring in the room, that we have not only faith in you, but God, that we know that you're a healer. So God, heal our hearts, heal our minds. God, help us forgive, even when it can be tough. But even though it's tough, it's rewarding. I love what Pastor David says. He said, admit it, forget it, it's done. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Let's just move on. And today is the day we lay it here, we leave it here, we forgive. And now we have faith, God, that you can continue to see us through, strengthen us every day. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have joy today across every location. God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and everybody said amen. And amen. Well, hey, I want you to go ahead and be seated, and let's check out this incredible life change story that's happening right here at our church. Check this out.